Therapy, one of my favorite topics. I haven't always been this open to seeing whether it's because I've seen a lot in the past of different variations of counselors, life coach, therapist, or psychologist, psychiatrist. I've gone for kinesiology, reflexology, Reiki, you name it. I can't even remember everything that I've done, especially during the trauma that I had about 9 years ago when I split from my then partner. We were married, we were together for 10 years, and I was 29 years old. Now, reflecting back, I feel like a baby as I'm, oh my gosh, it is 10 years. I'm turning 39 in 2 weeks. Wild. And so I've had this really big pull towards therapy again, and I'll share more about it in this episode, with boundaries, of course, because there's certain things that I'm just not ready to talk about, but where I can share, I will, because I just know what an impact it's made in my life when I've been exposed to women who've been a bit more vulnerable and gone through experiences that I've been through, and they've shared more about it. So if you and I were sitting across one another having a coffee, I'd share a hell of a lot more. If you ever bump into me and want to chat, I'm always open to it. I like thrive off talking about behavioral psychology, and really, now that I said that out loud, regrets during my studies of public relations not taking the subject a lot more serious. Obviously, it wasn't in the mindset then, was in a much different space when I was 20 years old. But back to the therapy, when I got into it, or when I was open to it, I must have been about 27. I went to a psychologist, and I can't even remember how I found her. I think she was at a wellness practice in Cape Town, and there were other offerings at this practice that I went to. I think my lovely friend Sue, I was still there doing Pilates with her. And then just realized as a psychologist, went to her. And it was quite triggering because I don't actually remember why I made the appointment, but I knew that there was this darkness inside of me and this sadness that I wanted to chat to someone. But when I had the session and I started crying, and she brought up like speaking about my relationship, my romantic relationship with my partner, I said, but that's not why I'm here, that there's nothing wrong there. It's perfect. I mean, isn't that telling? And I wanted to speak about work and other reasons why I was sad, but I couldn't pinpoint why I was sad. And she asked me questions that unleashed a certain vulnerability that I wasn't ready to share. And so I never went back. And fast forward a few years later, I was then seeing a life coach who, perfect fit at the right time. These things with counselors, as we all know, or therapists, you have to try out to find the right person. The same with like a coach or a PT in person or fitness classes. Not everyone is going to work for you. And then I found someone who helped me hugely in identifying weaknesses that I needed to work on, but also how unhappy I was, and that I came to discover how submissive, shy, how low my self-worth was, how insecure I was. And throughout my entire, since I can remember, school days and beyond, fitness and exercise have been my go-to. My biggest therapy was always endurance running. And now it's quite telling, looking back, I used to do any endurance running that would cause pain. So if I didn't lose toenails, if it wasn't a really 90 kilometers over 3 days in the trail running in the mountains, or a marathon where I was running with ITB issues, if there wasn't a physical pain that I was experiencing, I didn't think that it was worth it or I was worthy. So with the sessions that I had with the life coach then, and in combination with other practices and things that I was doing, I went through this divorce, and I then came across a practitioner who specializes in metaphysicist, but we were doing more behavioral, cognitive therapy sessions, tongue twister, yeah. And gosh, it was powerful. And so I was with her for a good 4 years until she moved out of Cape Town and I moved out of Cape Town. So for the past 3 years, I haven't had anyone. And my fear coming back to, like, I always had this fear about therapy because it was going to uncover this pain that I wasn't ready to deal with. That's the only way I can describe it. And it's very true. If we just look at the first session that I had and I didn't go back to her, was there was deep painful areas in my life that I just didn't want to disclose or wasn't ready to deal with. Then, boom, went through a divorce and the inevitable happened later on. And I went through this journey of really seeing my self-worth, changing from like endurance running to strength training and seeing how to holistically look after my body and my mental state a lot better. Fast forward to 2026 has been wild. Year of the fire horse. There is so much that is happening behind the scenes that is pending someone, basically life-changing situations or outcomes that we are waiting on, my husband and I, and I can't share much yet, but it is very overwhelming. And it's not got to do with the fact that we're also expecting a new Baba. And I started seeing a new lovely therapist called Christina. And she actually is connected to the previous lady that I used to see. They worked at the same practice. So these sessions are now online. I was more open to wanting to see someone in person, but just due to my circumstances and us potentially ending up in Cape Town again, excuse me, in the future, because that's where we want to end up, for now at least, I wanted to do online sessions so that that person can sort of move with me if I move, and I can start sort of opening up again and sharing more of my life with one person and not having to change. And the sessions we've been having have been so profound. I mean, I'm only 2 months in. And when I started these sessions, I was a wreck. Couldn't sleep at night because of this pending changes that are hanging over us and that we don't know what's happening next. And I felt like this massive burden and blockages that she is basically helping with. In this last session that I had this week, which is why I'm recording this episode, because I want to share some of the questions that came up. I believe it can help more. And if you're this far into the podcast, I'm hoping that you're in the space for being open to black spirituality and a little bit of woohoo messages, because I am really the contrast of personalities when it comes to love a bit of woohoo and all natural, but welcome the traditional modern medicine when needed. I really am such a mix, but from a spiritual perspective, the older I've gotten, the more I've relied on messages from the universe, God, paths or signs that show me that I'm on the right path, and also always been interested in self work on myself and growth. That's like been huge for me. So the session that we had, and why I'm also sharing it, is because not everyone is open to therapy or in the position to have therapy. Or so the more we can talk about it and the more we can share, I often say that a lot of my friends in my life, they're like my guardian angels in a different manner of, they've come into my life as sort of, what do you call it, soul contracts to show me and support me and guide me and vice versa. And so the more we talk about this, the more I believe we can grow together and help one another and learn from one another. So in the session that I had, we spoke quite a bit about me being in this period of, okay, 2 months ago, we started the sessions. I was very overwhelmed. Things felt out of my control. And what did I go and do? Because I couldn't control the outcome of what's happening next in our lives. was I almost dug, like, not almost, I did. I completely threw myself into work, which I have, this is another area that I'm working on, is I attach my self-worth to the work that I do. And the more productive I am in the day, the more of a satisfaction I get that I'm worthy and that I'm going to be noticed. Because if I go back to the questions, which I'll still share with you, I started to answer and journal and realize that as this young, submissive, insecure little girl, really afraid to speak up and to give my opinion, honestly, like even in a family scenario, would rather be quiet and hide away and not speak. I was really, really, it's hard to describe how different I was. And because of that, I realized I've got this subconscious, if I don't speak up, if I am just myself, I disappear in a crowd and no one notices me. And there was obviously things that happened in my childhood, not necessarily super traumatic, but that have almost scarred me in a manner of feeling, why didn't I speak up when I was younger? Why wasn't I more vocal? Why wasn't I, didn't I push more to be academic? Why didn't I pursue my talents in sports more? Why was I just mediocre? And so now I'm almost overcompensating to prove to my younger self, to prove for external validation, which brings back to codependent relationships that I've been so inclined to have in my life. I want to perform in work and excel and work extreme hours, everything for the validation and being seen and to finally feel worthy and to not be the shy little girl in the room who no one notices. Quite deep, right? Gosh, I love chatting about these things. And so where was I? So my therapist is helping me with that, because when we started, things were very overwhelming for me. And she kept telling me in our first session already, Marisa, you're growing a baby. Your next priority is your baby. And the fact that you've already got a child, your postpartum recovery period is going to be a lot longer than it was with your first child, because that's just naturally how it works, because you've got another little being. And for my son, we're going to obviously have certain challenges with him sharing, me sharing the attention with him and a sibling. And by the way, I'm very inquisitive to know what we're having. We're only going to find out at birth. So check in with me in October and I'll share. October 2026, if you're listening to this in 2027, which is possible. And I think that's going to be a pivotal shift in who I am going forward, whether it's a boy or a girl, a topic for another day. But she's just reminded me, Christina's reminded me, that my focus needs to be as a mom, as like my family needs to be a priority. And I really need to step back, because I can't go, because then I'm going to have the baby and I'm going to hit burnout. And we all know, because most of you listening have experienced a form of burnout before, we know how hard it is to get back from a burnout scenario. It's lengthy, it's long, it affects our mental health, it affects our physical health. I've been there before. And so to prevent that, she is helping me very much slow down, be present. And we've been doing a lot of work. I've been doing a lot of journaling and stepping back. And the beauty, but also the hardest part of surrendering, is all you should be doing to get, on this path of self-discovery and growth, is to do less and to surrender. And for personalities like myself, and I almost guarantee you exactly the same, being a ambitious woman, is that is completely against our nature, because we feel like if we don't do, we are not worthy. If we aren't being productive, a mother working, or just a female juggling multiple roles at the same time, we are not performing and we are not worthy. So that's where we are working, what we are working on. And this week I just came back from our baby moon in Mauritius. It was incredible. We also got to see Ash and her family, and our families finally got to spend time together, because although we've been working together for many years, we've lived across like the world in terms of different countries, hardly see each other. When we see each other, it's been a day, at most one night, that we've this year was the first time we spent one evening together for our launch webinar in Feb. And other than that, we just haven't had time to bond face to face and with our families together and the time that we had. And then after we saw them, we also had this incredible baby moon at a resort. I came back feeling very relaxed. I'm also very fortunate that we've got an amazing team running the business while I'm away, so I can take time off. Everyone behind the scenes is as passionate as Ash and I are about our clients and the work that we do. So in the session that I had, I felt very relaxed and calm, and I said to Christina, I'm actually bored. I am feeling a lot of empty space, quietness, and I'm bored. And that was a very, that was a topic that we went into a lot deeper, because it's exactly where I'm meant to be right now. And it's exactly the space that I've been gifted that I won't have again soon. And I'll never have this period of just being a mom of one and not having two little bodies to be responsible for. Four, counting the two really active dogs, which I should, because they are, like my other children, demanding. And so she made such a valid point. And if anyone is in this similar space, when things are feeling mundane and you're itching for change, like I've been itching and wanting this serious life change, whether it's a physical move or what it is, I've been wanting it and yearning it, and I need to let go of that and embrace where I'm at. Because whenever you have time and quietness and space, it's the perfect time for creativity. Like, this is the perfect time for me to grow emotionally, physically, look after my health, and to also prep for the arrival of this new little being in our lives. And so what I've been doing more of, especially after the holiday, is spending more time with my son, whereas usually I would make sure that the au pair is booked every afternoon. So he goes to school in the morning, I spend like an hour with him over lunchtime, and he has his nap, and then au pair comes and I can work more. And I've stopped that so that I can say, okay, in the afternoons where she comes for 2 hours, I want that one-on-one time with my son. And that sounds like, to some, it might sound like an easy thing to do. It's really hard for my nature to step back from work and to release the pressure that I have on wanting to achieve more in a day and to actually spend quality time with my son. So the stillness is where I am sitting. The fact that I've got zero control of what our next move and step is and what the change in our lives is going to be, I have to just sit back and take it day by day and focus on the gift that I've been given. And also the fact that I'm living in Potchefstroom and the weather up here is like all my Gauteng friends have been preaching to us Capetonians for years. It's incredible this time of year. I mean, we're going into July, the sun is shining. Yes, it's cold, but the sun is shining. And we've got these beautiful weather days. So I get to spend these afternoons with my son outdoors, going to like a local cafe or just spending time in our garden. Things that make me truly happy. And that is spending time with my family, including the dogs, being outdoors, like being in nature. So this is the season that I'm at and I'm trying to embrace, and I'm trying not to default back to the workaholic person that I am and to bury myself in like my worth is attached to what I do. That's the empty space part that I wanted to share. So the feeling of boredom, mundane, and it being a gift for now, because this is where a lot can unfold for growth for our next steps going forward. What else did I make notes on? Okay, yes, I did make notes on, like, interestingly enough, I'm helping Rocco with a few things and what's come to life, like, from a work perspective. And what's come to light is that my tendency is, because of my previous codependencies, I often was paired with combinations where I'm fire and my partner, whether it's business partner or best friend or previous, like, romantic partners, I've always been paired with fire. Fire with fire equals, you know, high like roller coaster goes really high and goes really low. It's extremes, it's up and down, but it's exciting. And that when I met Rocco, I was completely infatuated, and still am so adore him, and our relationship is so unique to what I experienced before. But what something that came across a regular pattern was like, oh, there are no like extreme highs and extreme lows. And I thought that every relationship had to have that, which is where Christina's also helping remind me, or just reflecting on it, because I have come to learn it, is that he's water, I'm fire, and we're the perfect mature relationship where we can learn from one another. So whilst I'm helping him in this certain like business elements, and I'm quite forceful, quite a doer, and I'm even telling to him like, this is how Ash and I work together. Like we, you know, have a meeting and think shit gets done. And I need to set up those boundaries in my relationship that if I'm going to help with anything from a work perspective with my partner, I need to accept that the relationship is completely different, and accept that, you know, set my boundaries up, but this is where I'm going to help. But the rest of the time I have to step back because I'm gearing up towards maternity leave. So I shouldn't be taking on more, and I shouldn't be taking on that much, that motherly instinct role that I have to do for others and to be of service and to just help everyone I can, because that is also a default of mine. So anyway, so just that was another note that I'm like digging into deeper, is the personal relationship boundaries to make sure that from a home perspective, I'm not suddenly changing my household into business conversations all the time. Because something that I absolutely love to do is when I'm not pregnant, have a date night with my husband, have a glass of wine, and we chat big plans. Business ideas, acquisitions, growth, investments, like it really gets me firing. So I'm not in the space for that right now, and I shouldn't be in that space. So that's another reminder that Christina is helping me again to just pull away, because as soon as I slow down in work, it seems that I am trying to latch onto, you know, Rocco and his business work and firing with all cylinders like that direction, which is again another area where I have to be very conscious of and slow down. Okay, now lastly, I'm finding it very hard to record this episode, by the way, because I don't have a direct, like all the notes are very fresh when I have a session, but then it's been a day or two later. And I know that after I've recorded this, there are going to be things that come to mind. So solo episodes are always so hard, because I wish there was someone else that I could, you know, bounce these ideas off or talk even into more depth of it. But this may lead to another episode. We did a exercise in our therapy session, which again, I'm hoping may help you. If you're feeling certain blockages, there's this rock in the middle of the road and you just can't seem to move it. We did this visualization where Christina asked me, okay, what am I seeing visually when it comes to blockages that I'm feeling? Because I know that there's certain work to be done in journaling, but I almost said I can't describe what those blockages are. I can't even tell you, you know, it's something X related to work or X related to a relationship, or I can't pinpoint it. And when we did the visualization exercise, I saw this, not necessarily super clear, but the more we spoke about it, the clearer the visual became, was this dark passageway, which was had a doorway, and the doorway was covered by this big stone, this big rock. And I couldn't get past that rock. And the more we chatted about it and I visualized it, I could see that there is light, like physical light, at the bottom left hand corner of this passage blocked by the rock. And Christina asked me, can I move through it? Is there a way that I can actually move this block? And at first it didn't feel possible, but then at when I would looked like a little bit deeper into it, and I felt it, I was lying in my bed while we have these calls, I saw that, wait a minute, the gap with the light is getting brighter and brighter, and it's actually quite a big gap. I can squeeze through it. I squeeze through it, and on the other side is a garden, this green lush garden with beautiful flowers, birds, butterflies, a majestic garden. And I feel peace, I feel content, I feel light. And just to rewind a bit, on the other side of the rock, I felt fear, intimidation, and sadness and frustration. Like, how am I going to get past this? And why is there this darkness and this rock in the middle of my path that I can't get through? And the more we uncovered it, the more we realized how that rock is symbolizing my ego and how we always feel in life when there is this crossroads and a difficult period in our lives that we can't get past it. It feels really impossible. But then, with further thoughts and further realization, I saw there was a gap. I saw there was light, a big enough gap for me to move through, and I got through to the other side. So this visualization exercise was so powerful and was something that I actually did with my husband later on that evening. And we uncovered even more in-depth things about like his challenges at the moment that link to certain experiences that he had growing up and how to get through that. So this is where I love therapy so much, because we all used to think that there is the stigma attached to it, but you think that there's something wrong with you if you need therapy. Like, only people who get divorced go to a therapist, or who've got issues, who have had traumatizing like life experiences. But for all of us that are wanting to grow, have a better, healthier relationship with our bodies, eat better, like move better, live more confidently, and have the self-worth, therapy is incredible, worth every cent. So that was the visualization exercise, and just that leads me to the questions that I have listed, which I'm hoping can help you as well. And let's start with the first one. What am I most afraid people would think of me if I slowed down completely and produced nothing for 6 months? That's a really hard question for me to answer. That's what I'm saying is like, and Christina made a good point. She said, with everything that I'm doing now, between now and our next session, she said, don't rush it. You've got the personality of being incredibly driven and wanting to accomplish a lot in a short space of time. But if you do that, you're gonna miss out. If you don't embrace this period quieter, even with journaling and self, like the work that I have to do, just do it slowly and process it slowly. So a lot of these questions I haven't even gotten into detail, into writing, and it's sort of my homework to tap into and out of as I feel I have the capacity to in the next few weeks. The other question is, when I feel the urge to fill the empty space with doing, what emotion am I trying not to feel? And I mean, that immediately the word that came up to me was like lack of worth, or not just words that came to mind, lack of worth, or feeling unworthy. That's like the first thing that comes to my mind. Third question, can I sit with that feeling for 3 minutes and just describe it without fixing it? That's deep. Then the next question, what does enough look like for me? It's so easy with immediately when I like think off the top of my head, it's like enough is having a healthy family, friends, having my health, my fitness, and being out in nature. Oh, it always brings me back. I just want to always be outdoors and close to the mountain, which is why I struggle being so far away from my Cape Town home. Then the other question is, have I ever actually felt it? And if so, when? Like, that's deep, because I can identify certain periods in my life. And at first, when I did start fleshing out the answer to this question, I realized that when I felt it the most was after trauma. So after I had a divorce and I felt my life was completely falling apart and I felt low, low, like I couldn't get any lower. There were people in my life that hated me. There's a lot of pain that I caused. there was a lot of conflict. I had a lot of support, but there was a, it was a very tough period because I knew what was right for me, but people were fighting me on my decision, saying that that's not the right thing that I should be doing. And that was very painful. I was so low that after that, I felt this enlightenment feeling of a bird would fly by and I'd fully embrace like the visual beauty of what I was seeing barefoot on the grass. And it would be like, my soul would be so happy just being outdoors, like small things and appreciation and being truly present came after trauma. And it's similar to when I get sick, because I'm such a doer. If I'm so sick, like a tummy bug always knocks me off my feet and I'll literally be in bed. Like that's one of the like ways, roadblocks that I experience. And after that, as soon as I feel better and I can eat, because eat is such a celebratory like part of my life. As soon as I feel better, I don't have the tummy bug. I don't feel nauseous. I can get out of bed and I can do dishes, do my work, look after my family. Everything I do after feeling so crap is so deeply felt. And again, I'm so present. So there's obviously work to be done, because I feel like the only way I can reach that is when life throws me huge obstacles and traumatic experiences that I go through, that only after then I feel like I can be still and embrace the moment, which is, of course, not a very healthy way to live life. And then the last question, where in my body do I feel the resistance? Is it the chest, the stomach, my throat? I've actually got a hell of a lot more questions, but I'm going to leave it at that, because I feel like I've been talking a lot, and I really, really hope that this episode was meaningful. And if you've got a friend or a loved one who has supported you through really challenging times, or just that friend who's always been there for you, or a family member, I would love for you to share this episode with them, because I really do believe in sharing more vulnerable life experiences for all of us to learn and to grow together. And if you ever want to chat, pop me a DM on Instagram or send me an email, mariza@fitmom.online. I love connecting with this community, because I think we all have such powerful gifts of how we can share and help one another. So I hope you enjoyed that episode, and until the next one.